We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And welcome into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the inaugural John Chuckery Show. So happy to be here with you. It's your new show Monday through Friday, 7 to 11 p.m. here, full time. Wow, that's a scary thought, huh? Scary thought. Can I still be Team Have Not? No? By the way, we got Saturday coming up, our first college football game time show of the year. It'll be myself, be Chris Goforth. Now, normally it'll be Randy Mack, but he is going to be busy with Andy Bunker on Saturday, so it's going to be John Fricke. John Fricke and where we stand on Fricke coming in. So Fricke will be in this week. It'll be the original college football game time lineup, myself, Goforth, and John Fricke. So, but Randy will be part of it, so we got that coming up Saturday because the official, my official launch. By the way, we're streaming online. It's 929game.com. Check out our new and improved website. Download your radio.com app. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the different platforms on the station. Best way to follow us, I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Jarvis is the producer and will be the producer at JarvisD90. As we said, it is the official kickoff of the college football season. When SEC Media Days rolls on into Hoover, Alabama, it's the official kickoff. Because once we get that done, now it's time to start talking about regular football, and we've heard from everybody, and everybody's geared up and ready to go. So as we said, everything kind of kicked off today. Obviously, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, always gives kind of his, I don't know what you want to call it, state of the SEC type of speech that he gives. Now, we mentioned this at the top of the show, but this was Greg Sankey talking about the next two locations that we're going to get for SEC Media Days.
Next year, after the success in Atlanta last year, we will return to Atlanta for Football Media Days. We will use the Chick-fil-A College Football Hall of Fame once again as our base. Media Days will stay on the move in 2021, and we will go to the Music City and enjoy the new Grand Hyatt Nashville for Media Days.
So you heard Greg Sankey, 2021, Nash Vegas gets the SEC Media Days, but more importantly is next year, they're back here in Atlanta, in the mecca of all things college football. The SEC Media Days will be back. And personally, I think that's where it should be. I talked to Greg Sankey last year. He's of the belief that he'd like to see it kind of go around and spread. And I get that, spread its brand. I just think that Atlanta is such an easy city to get to. Besides the fact that it's the mecca of college football, it's the center of the universe of college football, it's such an easy town to get in, whether you fly, drive, whatever, you know, to all these different types of SEC towns. So look, I get what Greg Sankey wants to do, make it a bigger brand. That's what the SEC is great at doing, is making their big brand. But, man, this thing should be in Atlanta every year. I'm excited for it to come back to Atlanta. I get geeked up for things like that. You know, I'm a college football junkie, so when you give me stuff like that. Look, I'd love to go to ACC Media Days, Big 12. I'm into all that. I'm into it. Let me be around the environment, smell it, touch it, feel it. Let me rub my hands on some football or something like that. Let me be a part of everything. Let's continue with Greg Sankey. Obviously, one of the big questions is replay. And it doesn't matter if you're pro, college, you can be whatever. Here's Greg Sankey talking about the use of replay reviews.
Our replay process operates on each play 10 seconds faster than the national average and produces more correct outcomes than the old in-stadium process.
So, look, anything that involves more replays to me are always just one of those things that I'm not in favor of. The world of college football is going through the same growing pains as what the NFL is going through about how to use all this and what kind of challenges to give and all that. So, I'm not a big replay guy. I'm not a big video kind of guy out there. I still think the human element, which is always going to have its flaws, but that's what all humans do. The players aren't perfect. Why would we expect officials to be perfect? It's Greg Sankey talking about the use of a replay monitor on the field, though.
We are adding to our collaborative replay process a sideline monitor that will allow the on-field football officials to view the play and communicate with the in-stadium replay booth and the replay officials in the conference's video center. One of the benefits, in addition to the extra voice in the process, will be the ability to better explain replay decisions from the official to our head coaches on the field.
Okay, how convoluted and how confusing and how much malarkey and minutia was there in that quote? Honestly, like, my brain is fried. I'm watching Brock Lesnar right now because my brain is fried right now from that quote. Like, if you can sort that stuff out, God bless you. You ought to work for NASA. I don't know what the hell that was I just heard. I got monitors and coaches, and we got sidelines. And again, you know how this all ends? Will Smith on a bicycle having to shoot the robots. And he'll say, what was that line he used? You know, sometimes I told you so just doesn't say it. That'll be what it is. I don't know what that quote was. Halfway through it, I was like, man, I can't wait to watch Brock Lesnar wrestle. Because there's just way too much thought process in all of that stuff. Way too much to have to think about right there. Now, also been some talk about whether or not to start the season earlier in the world of college football. Here's Greg Sankey talking about whether or not they should start the season earlier.
We did go through this process and looking at starting even earlier. We had a working group at the NCAA level look at that and suggest not starting on what's commonly known as week zero. So it's unique, but I think it's a tribute to the game we're talking about and the opportunity to begin with a feature matchup, the 150th anniversary, the 150th season of college football.
I agree. I like the fact that college football gets started a week earlier in the NFL. I don't need it in the middle of summertime, though, right? Like, I'm all for football, but, you know, start the season when it gets a little bit toward the tail end of summer, not keeping it in the middle. So the first team that was out of the gate to today, John Chuckery in the Keys Studios on the John Chuckery Show here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. So the first team that was out of the gate was Missouri today. Now, obviously, the transfer portal, because guess what? The guy who's going to quarterback Missouri that we'll hear from in just a second, he comes from Clemson, and Kelly Bryant, part of that transfer portal, okay? A lot of discussion about, is it working? Is it not working? Should it be tweaked? Should it be gotten rid of altogether? Should kids have to sit out a year? Should they be able to transfer right away because they got the sniffles? Here's head coach of Missouri, Barry Odom, talking about the impact of the transfer portal.
You know, you got to be open and really study on what's out there and what's available, because the roster management just has increased. The time that you spend on that has increased so much with those opportunities.
Well, look, here's the thing. I'm all for free agency in college football. I think it's a good thing. I don't have any problem with it. I don't like the idea of kids having to sit out a year either, because none of that has to happen to anybody else. Everybody else can do what they want to do. Well, they got buyouts and stuff like that. Okay, well, that's all a negotiation. That's all part of a negotiation. Why can't the players negotiate? Why do the players not get to negotiate things then? How come they don't get a say in any of it? If coaches and all that can negotiate buyouts and all that kind of stuff, why can't players negotiate anything about their future? And I get it. People don't like the fact that with the transfer portal, a guy gets a hangnail, he can transfer out and things like that. I understand that. But I like free agency in college football. I think kids should be able to get their wares in and be able to make money off their wares. Because you know what? For a lot of these kids, it'll never get better than what it does right now. And what I mean by that is their earning potential. Not all, but definitely some. Last clip for you. Let's hear from Kelly Bryant, because obviously he came over to Missouri from Clemson. Remember, he managed to not lose a year. I think, did he only play four games and not lose a year of eligibility, I think, is what he did at Clemson. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence taking over that team. Here's Kelly Bryant talking about his thoughts about the transfer portal.
You know, it depends on your situation. I mean, if you feel the need, you know, you want to go somewhere else, you know, that's going to, you know, benefit you and put you in a position to be successful. You know, you got to take care of yourself at the end of the day, because, I mean, it's a team sport. But if you're not good, then you're not doing no purpose to the team. So, you know, I feel like it's a great rule for guys. You know, not a lot of people like the rule, but, you know, that's just how it is of today.
Well, I agree completely because, like I said, I like free agency, and I think guys should be able to move around. And I don't think there should be a year's wait for all of that. I think guys should be able to make their decisions. Look, this is an important time in these kids' life. They want to maximize their opportunity. Sometimes being in the same place all 4 years is not going to maximize their opportunity. People do that in their job all the time, right? Not happy where you are, you maximize your opportunity, you go on to somewhere else. So you got Georgia tomorrow. So Georgia's going to be part of the mix tomorrow out there. We will talk to our buddy Chris Goforth. He is in Hoover, Alabama, covering SEC Media Day. So we will hear from Chris Goforth tomorrow, and we'll talk with him and get his thoughts about what we've seen out there this far. We will start our college football game time show coming up on this Saturday. Excited and getting ready to launch the season. Hard to believe that we're finally here. Feels like the spring and summer has gone on for quite a while. So Georgia will have Jake Fromm, J.R. Reed, DeAndre Swift. That will be who will be representing them from a player standpoint. Usually always at these events you get your upperclassmen that are part of all of this. Tua is going to be there as well because everybody knows it's going to be Tua's last year in Alabama. You know, Tua's not coming. If you're hoping to go next year in Atlanta to see Tua, guess what? He'll be on an NFL field somewhere. He'll be in an NFL training camp somewhere. He certainly won't be around Alabama for SEC Media Days next year. So take advantage of seeing him while you can out there. That'll be a big spectacle out there. So always exciting to see. Somebody will always say something a little bit crazy. We'll have some more audio for tomorrow night as well. And like I said, we'll talk to our buddy Chris Goforth out there and get his thoughts. And look, right now it's going to be overwhelmingly Georgia and Alabama in the SEC. I can't imagine that there are a lot. There will be some contrarians just because everybody wants. If the thing is, there's no downside to being a contrarian. If you don't get it right, you know, you're eclectic, right? People don't pay attention to it or whatever like that. If you get it right, you know, if you pick Missouri to win the East and they win the East and you get it right, well, then you look like the smartest guy in the room. So there's no downside to going with one of these wacky, crazy picks. So there will be other people besides Alabama and Georgia. Like, there will be some Florida picks for the East. There will be some A&M and some LSU and some Auburn picks for the West. Why? That's just kind of how it goes out there. But Georgia and Alabama will be the overwhelming favorites to meet up again in the SEC championship game. I think Alabama will probably have a bigger margin than even what Georgia does, but Georgia's going to be the beast to bear. There's a reason why Georgia's going to be third, fourth at worst in the country. I think one of the polls that came out over the weekend had them fourth in the country. I want to say they had actually Ohio State, I think, third or something like that, which seemed kind of crazy. But it happens. All right, we talked some Atlanta United with you a little bit earlier. We're going to hear from Jason Longshore, who joined Dukes and Bell earlier on today, and get his thoughts. He definitely was not happy with the officiating. I know that from yesterday. So we'll hear from Jason Longshore next. It's the John Chuckery Show, live in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Damn, Jarvis going to get us in trouble already out there. John Chuckery back in the Kia Studios. This is John Chuckery Show. Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Wasn't my fault, Terry. Color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Joined Dukes and Bell a little bit earlier. And the guy started off by asking him after a 2-1 loss to Seattle, what the heck happened?
Individual mistakes, killing you. I mean, overall in this match, Atlanta played pretty well. I mean, let's be fair here. Seattle has not lost at home since September 29th of last season. Only two teams have come in and got a beer. But this was a game that, on the balance of it, felt like a draw would have been equitable.
Right.
But it's two individual mistakes. And there were just moments in the game, and this has been too much of a recurring theme, where the play swings against Atlanta after key moments. And you look at the giveaway that leads to the first goal, it's amazingly taken by Raul Ruiz Diaz. You can't take anything away from the actual goal, but it's a giveaway at the top of the 18 by Julian Gressel in a moment where you just need to clear that, bomb it away, reset. Second one, it's a giveaway from Leandro Gonzalez Pires, and I think the more distressing part about it for me was after Atlanta found the equalizer on a set piece, Joseph Martinez, great header, great service from Pitti, Seattle had three chances pretty quick,
right,
and then they got the go-ahead goal right after it. There wasn't that lift from the goal that you need to see.
And that's the thing, Jason, defensively, you know, it's Escobar one day. He didn't have a great game. We talked about Miles, you know, against Red Bulls a few 2 weeks ago. So every game, and LGP you talked about with the turnover. I guess from a fan standpoint, I get it. Seattle's got a tremendous, you know, home field advantage. But as a game went on longer and longer, like, we can hang with these guys. Ship was missing golden opportunities for Seattle. And then, you know, Gressel had a bad day, too, because he didn't really do what he needed to do.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I do feel like Atlanta was hanging with Seattle. And that's a place that, again, it's just not easy to get points there. But Atlanta played a game that should have gotten them a point. And it's the individual breakdowns. And it's not the same individual breakdowns. And I think that, you know, that's an easier situation. If it's one player, there's mistakes happening. Okay, you can correct that. But it seems to rotate. And this one, it's Leandro Gonzalez-Pirros, who's one of the best passers out of the back in the league, with just an inexplicable giveaway, just a complete mishit, and then you're exposed, and Seattle gets the winning goal.
It's Jason Longshore, guys, analyst for Atlanta United. It continues. Wednesday doesn't get any easier. Houston Dynamo come to town, and as a matter of fact, Mike and I will be doing the show from the Gulch. Pre-game starting at 6:30, kick at 7 on Wednesday down at Mercedes-Benz. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this, Jason, when it comes to Frank DeBoer's style. We were willing, and I'm talking about the 17s and the fan base, we were willing to give in, okay, to this because mm-hmm. we were better defensively. But now that we're not, I don't know about this style, and I'm getting back to this because when it was working and it looked like, all right, we're so much better defensively, and I get to about the individual thing, the breakdowns, but I look at this now and I'm going, okay, so what has to change for us to get back to where we were even just a few weeks ago?
But when you get to the style question, I think playing a more wide open style, and let's get back into this one from yesterday. Atlanta had plenty of chances. That wasn't really the issue here. Justin Merrim created 6 chances on his own. But the more you open up, the more you're exposed. So if there's defensive issues right now where you're not playing a 50-50 kind of game where you're just playing direct as fast as possible, play vertical as fast as possible, and go run. One, the team's not built to go run. You don't have Miguel Almiron anymore, so that option's off the table. You don't have Tito Villalba right now because he's been out. You have to play differently, and you have to try to protect it. And when the defensive breakdowns happen, that's where we get into this conversation. Because I don't think opening the game up helps anything right now. And I don't think they're playing that defensive to begin with, because the chances are there.
It is Jason Longshore, guys. As Carl mentioned, follow him at Longshoe. He'll have the call with Mike Conti right here. Pre-game, 6:30, and we kick at 7 against Houston at Mercedes-Benz. We'll be down there in the Gulch tailgate and having a blast. It's very exasperating because we have a great run before the international break, and we just haven't found our equal footing. I mean, I know the win against St. Louis is good. We have the U.S. Open Cup to look forward to. But it's just so spastic and just so stop and start. I mean, is this a reflection of the coaching staff or just the players not doing their job or both?
Yeah, I don't think it's the coaching staff. The spastic part is definitely true, and that's what's frustrating about it is spastic would have been the last word I would have used to describe this team in late April and into May, because they were very composed. They were very organized.
Right.
They were very controlling, and now you've lost that, and you're getting into some of these 50-50 matches where it is back and forth. They hung with Seattle, a really good team, yesterday in a fairly 50-50 kind of match. Could have done better in the attacking end, but they were creating the chances. Needed to do much better defensively because both goals are off of individual mistakes.
Miles Robinson got off to a great start this season. We were talking highly of him, and we continue to. Why is it seem like he's regressed?
I don't know if I'd say he's regressed, to be honest. I mean, he's the best defender Atlanta's had. I think he's been the most consistent one. Can you play at your 100% highest level through a whole 34-match season? No, it's impossible. You're going to have some drops. But I think Miles has been the most consistent. We haven't seen these major issues with Robinson, and that's helped a lot. What I'm wondering about now is you're getting into a situation with the injuries on the outside, in the back. Now you've had Breck Shea go down. Mikey Ambrose wasn't an option yesterday because of a hamstring. We haven't seen George Bello in a long, long time.
Right.
Franco Escobar with the yellow card suspension on Wednesday. You have a real significant problem at the moment at fullback. And you're going to have to figure out what to do quickly, because I don't know Breck Shea if he's going to be back quickly. You know, he's going to get checked out. Hopefully it's not any knee issues. That was the concern coming out of yesterday. But everything else is just such a struggle to field a consistent back four. And you're going to play better if you have consistency back there.
It's Jason Longshore, and by the way, we've got breaking news, Jason. We'll talk more about this just coming up, but Grady Jarrett, Carl, does have his deal. According to Adam Schefter from ESPN, a four-year, $68 million contract. Ooh. More on that coming up. But
that's
Grady,
great news.
Grady does get his deal with an hour and 10 minutes to spare, so it might sound a little crazy, but it does free up more cap space, big picture for other players, but it is a big number. All right, speaking of which, maybe we need to pay the refs more, maybe we need to find other refs, I don't know. The yellow card on Escobar, it was a 50-50 ball. There's no maliciousness there. It's a guy just trying to get up and get some air to get the head on the ball. We saw the Red Bulls in NYCFC, a ridiculous play that resulted in a goal. These pro refs are brutal. And you can't appeal that yellow card, right? We're screwed with this.
You can't appeal yellow cards. Mm. And that's maybe the worst call I've seen since Atlanta United started, because Franco Escobar has to go play that ball in the manner that he did. There's zero that he did wrong in that situation. He's going straight to the ball to win it. Roldan comes out of nowhere from the side and is late, and Escobar wins the ball. And for the referee to say afterwards, according to Leandro Gonzalez Pires, that it was a red card play, well, one, if it's a red card play, why aren't you showing a red card? Two, there's not even a foul there, so how is it a red card play? That's what's frustrating about it if you're Atlanta United, because this is not the first time. It probably won't be the last time. And it was a match where 10 minutes before that, and right before the second goal, Nicolas Ladero comes in late showing his studs on Joseph Martinez and spins him around, and there's no yellow card. That's where it gets so frustrating, and I think that does affect the focus. It's really easy to say you have to block that stuff out, but when you know that now you're going to miss Escobar for Wednesday, it does affect you.
Jason, I heard you going in yesterday on the broadcast about Pity Martinez not being able to get calls in this league. Do you really feel that way?
100%. He's breaking away in the attacking half, and he's being grabbed from behind and brought down. There's no call. And this has been consistent. Pity Martinez is on the ball a lot, does not get the calls that I think other players of his stature get in this league. It's very frustrating. And those things add up. Are we frustrated with Pity Martinez after yesterday?
Well, I thought, you know, the set piece you talked about, he gave great service for, and Joseph got more air than like an NBA guy in a slam dunk contest with a header. That was a thing of beauty. But I mean, like, that's just it. We get scratched the surface. You see what you can see the brilliance in Pity's game, but it's almost like him constantly getting mugged takes him out of it, you know, or not getting back up, which I know drives DeBoer nuts and get back on defense. The analogy Carl and I talked about last week, I said it's like when Michael Jordan was coming up in the NBA and you watch him get mugged by the Pistons. You want to see the athleticism, but you're not getting to see it.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison. And that's what it was in the last couple of years when it came to fouls on Joseph, fouls on Miguel Almiron. It's frustrating that it feels like these things happen. Now, one of the reasons that these moments are happening in matches is Atlanta's signing very talented players who are creating these 1v1 opportunities. And teams are going to have to make a decision to either go in physically, go in and foul, or if they can win the ball, great. But too often they're not. And too often Atlanta players are getting fouled. And when you see a match like yesterday where Atlanta's picking up all the cards, Nicolas Ladero doesn't, Pity Martinez doesn't get that foul call. There's things like that that just add up, and it's frustrating. But what's happening too often is that frustration is then leading to mistakes on the field. That's the part that can't happen no matter what.
Well, it certainly wasn't a good night for Atlanta United. And there's been some strange matches that this team has been involved in this year. And we played you that clip earlier from Taylor Twellman about, how they're kind of disjointed, they're clunky, and things like that. Got to get it together. There's not a lot of time left in this season, but it does emphasize the fact that this team really now has got to go win the U.S. Open Cup. I mean, you got to put all your eggs into that basket to ensure that you're going to be in CONCACAF and everything next year and for sure get that trophy. And you got Orlando coming up, and then you got the winner of, I forget who it was, because was it Minnesota and somebody else? I think it was one of the FC teams or something, or one of the minor league kind of teams that's in. I'll have to look it up. I can't remember now what the other matchup was. To be honest with you, I don't really care who the other matchup is. Just go out and handle your business in these next couple of matches. Good news is that because Atlanta United has missed out on so many of these draws to host one of these matches, that if Atlanta United advances to the championship, that will be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So they will get a home match out of all of it. So we know that's coming for Atlanta United. So take care of your business against Orlando, and you can close things out at home in the Open Cup Championship. Of course, first, business against Houston coming up on Wednesday as well. Just got to get back to winning ways. A couple of home matches Wednesday, Sunday, getting back to winning ways. And despite all the angst about PT and it's behind him, it's not behind him, it's this, that, and the other. Look, PT Martinez has to continue to evolve and become one of the top players on this team. Joseph is not going to do it by himself. Now, Barco should be coming back here very soon. That will make a monumental difference, assuming that he's the same guy that we saw before he had this long extended break. Looking forward to getting him back and getting back in the fold. All right, when we get back, it's time for What's Bugging Chukri. Yeah, I'm not sure Les Miles exactly gets it. I'll explain that story next. It is the John Chukri Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chukri Show. It's the inaugural show or launch. Happy to be with you here now, full-time, Monday through Friday. Me and Jarvis hanging out with you in the Kia Studios. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, Dukes and Bells going to be broadcasting live from the Gulch parking lot from 2 to 6:30 on Wednesday before the Atlanta United versus Houston match. Bring some Hey Man Ale and take it with 92.9 The Game before the match. Actually, funny thing is, we will be off that night, but Atlanta United will be in action. We'll have the call right here at a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. If you want to listen to that, is Jason Longshore, who we just heard from, and Mike Connie, and where he stands. We'll have the call for you on all of that. It's be nice to get back on the winning track at home against Houston. So, all right, speaking of trying to get back on track, let's get to What's Bugging Chukri.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chukri ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chukri on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to understand that coaches in college football just don't get it. Now, you guys can go out there and say, oh, they should. Okay, guys want to win, and guys are looking to build their program. Throw Les Miles into that group. So if you don't know who running back Puka Williams is, okay, first off, he ran for 1,125 yards as a freshman last year, became the first KU football player to make the All-Big 12 first-team offense since 2009. Think he's important to Les Miles? Oh, yeah, he is. Now, Puka was suspended by Kansas in December of 2018. This was following an arrest related to suspicion of domestic battery. An arrest affidavit reported the alleged victim accused Williams of grabbing her by the throat and punching her in the stomach. Okay? Now, what did Puka end up getting when all this was said and done? Okay? He ended up with a one-game suspension out of all of it. Now, I guess he's sort of cleared of, you know, he's been basically cleared of the main charges out there. So I guess the first question is that why even suspend him a game? Like, if he's kind of cleared, then why even do this, you know, at all? Seems kind of ridiculous to put one game in, okay? But Miles goes on to say, there's no proper way to put it. There's no violence. Violence will not be accepted with women, period. He says that action was taken immediately. We felt like a strong point was made, not only with Puka, but with the team. The idea that for 7.5 months, Puka was going through a process and he didn't have an opportunity to spend time with his team, go to the weight room, just be a part. Puka went through a legal investigation with the legal community. Puka also had proceedings that went through the conduct board at the university, and he basically understood very much that if he did not meet the criteria the board asked, this would not last long, and he really met every criteria that he could. He's taken responsibility. He's been remorseful. He's learned from this experience, as has our team. We're thankful to have him back. And again, no violence against a woman is okay. All right. So, first of all, what does that mean he took responsibility? He's only got a one-game suspension. And, okay, so because he wasn't part of the weight room facilities and all that in the summertime, I mean, I get being with your teammates. Is it more important that he's there in the summer with his teammates or more important that he's here in August? Oh, okay. Now, it says, again, no violence against a woman is okay. All right. Well, if he's been reinstated and, but yet, you know, he agreed to a, I guess what it is he agreed to a diversion agreement in March over the particular incident. He says, my behavior, this is Puka, by the way, speaking. My behavior is unacceptable, and I'm very sorry to those who are impacted by my poor choices. So it's kind of becoming, okay, Les, if there may not be complete fire, but there's definitely some smoke. And if violence against a woman is okay, is only one game's worth not okay, I guess, is kind of the question that people are starting to ask. Like, he's not completely innocent, but he's not completely guilty. Is he sort of pregnant? Is that maybe kind of the best way to describe how to do it? You know? Look, if a guy is cleared, why suspend him? Right? Isn't that kind of what we say is, look, why suspend him for a game? By the way, the game that he is suspended for, any idea? Want to take a guess who they play? Indiana State. What is that? That's the Larry Bird fighting Sycamores, right? I don't know much about Indiana State's football program. I'm guessing me and Jarvis could line up and take care of business against Indiana State's football program. I don't know much about it. I'm going to guess that's what it is. Hell, we'll throw Randy and Hugh out there too. And the four of us could go take care of Indiana State. So Les Miles decided to suspend him for one game, even though that violence is not okay, but he didn't really do anything, or he did, or whatever. This is one of those convoluted stories that follow the player. Now, you can like that, not like that. You can get mad, get upset about it. Follow the player. Would this kid, had he been third-string tight end, have only gotten a one-game suspension? Probably not. Would have been a lot easier to send him a message. But when it's your star running back, who's your first-team All-Big 12 since 2009, then maybe things get a little bit changed. Now, it's the Big 12, right? There seems to be a lot of that that's gone around within the Big 12 itself. I'm just saying. Seems like there's a lot of things at times that get overlooked throughout the Big 12 out there. I think Les is a little bit tone deaf on all this kind of stuff, but then again, you know, he is the Mad Hatter. It probably wouldn't be the first time that he's like that. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929, by the way, is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to hang out and talk with us. Scott and Buckhead says, hey, Chuckery, are you our full-time evening guy? Yes, it is official. I am full-time now, so I'm here Monday through Friday. Of course, we won't be here Wednesday, but we will be here Monday through Friday from now on from 7 to 11. So we are officially, tonight is our official launch of the show. That's not what's bugging Chuckery. It's actually been a good day today, actually. We got our Falcon Flyover coming up at 9 o'clock. Got a lot to talk about with Grady Jarrett in all that. We haven't really spent any time talking about that. I've been so busy with other things, the Braves and Atlanta United and everything else that we'll get to Falcons is what they'll report later this week. And then officially kick things off next week, right, Jarvis? If things officially get going starting Monday of next week. My guess would be Monday would be one of the days you want to tune in to the radio station because usually always on Monday to start training camp, that's when Dan Quinn, that's when Thomas Dimitroff, that's when Arthur Blank usually all make their rounds around the media. So very much expect that all of those guys will be on air come Monday. I don't know what shows. Probably all the different shows will have somebody on. But usually Monday is the day that those guys want to do all the media and everything like that and kick everything off. So I would tell you for sure you want to be here Monday to get ready. Should be here every day and every night with us. But Monday should have all of them on as we get ready for the Hall of Fame game Believe it or not, that's coming up on August 1st. That'll be here within a couple of weeks now, as the Falcons and Denver Broncos will kick things off up in my hometown of Canton, Ohio. Unfortunately, not going to get a chance to go up there. I've got tickets. I got a place to stay. I got my folks' house and everything like that. Just not going to be able to take off the time and do all that. By the way, do we get vacation now that I'm full time, Jarvis? Do we get to take our vacation? Do we get to request a vacation and take all that? And it's mine. Okay. So since I missed a couple of Saturdays that I had to use on my vacation days, wow, okay. What about the fact that I've been here for 6.5 years? Have I accumulated more days or whatever? Is it an accumulation thing when you've been somewhere for a long time? Doesn't mean nothing, huh? Wow. Can I go back to part-time? I think I got more benefits at part-time. And I could say, when I wanted to work and, you know, get all this. But, no, super excited to be here with you. You know, very much looking forward to growing the show. Jump on our Twitter handle, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Follow us along with the show. We're going to be a lot more interactive on social media. We're up to 67, Jarvis. So we're creeping closer. Almost at 4,000 followers now, so we're getting there. We were joking about that earlier. So, and we want to do some things social media-wise. Just get more interactive. I'm even going to talk to Jarvis about maybe whether or not we should put up like a little wall or something on Facebook. And if y'all want to comment and things like that, you can interact there as well. All right, when we get back, a very sad story about the guy who was the founder of ESPN, having some real health issues. I'll give you that story coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show. We're live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.